If hospital waiting lists in England were as bad as Northern Ireland, heads would roll. That's the startling claim from the chief exec of a national health body. Speaking to the BBC, Nigel Edwards from the Nuffield Trust has described our figures as serious.
These figures really represent a very worrying situation in Northern Ireland and compare very badly with the figures in England, where if we saw this level of waiting, heads would probably roll. These statistics do translate into real people with real stories. And I think if we can, you know, there comes a point where you have to step back from this technocratic stuff about, you know, how many hospitals do we have and whether we should use the private sector, and say, you know, if this was your parent or your relative or, you know, your employee, is this acceptable? There are unresolved, long-standing issues for at least two, if not three decades, where it's known that perhaps too much money is spent on maintaining separate hospital sites, and these decisions have been ducked over a long period of time, and that's one of the reasons probably now why people are saying we don't have the money to treat patients.
The former Health Minister, DUP MLA, Edwin Poots, is with us this morning. Good morning to you, Edwin.
Good morning.
So that was Nigel Edwards speaking to Mary Louise Connolly. What should happen now?
Well, what should happen now is that the health service should be properly supported in terms of delivering the services that need to be delivered. I think you'll recall a conversation, Stephen, that we had back in August 2014, whenever waiting lists were considerably lower than they are today, and I predicted that this would happen. And that was something that has now happened, and no one should be shocked or surprised.
So what should happen? What needs to happen?
Well, what needs to happen? There's a very clear timeline here, if one cares to look at it. Whenever I took over as Minister, first year we had 10,000 people who were waiting more than 12 hours in ED to be treated. That was reduced to 77 people in consecutive months. So there was a dramatic improvement in terms of what happened in ED. In terms of whenever we took over as well, the outpatient appointments, there was over 130,000 on the waiting list whenever Michael McDimsey was the Minister. We took that down to under 100,000.
Yeah, but Edmund, rather than you patting yourself in the bag, give us a sense of what needs to happen. How did it happen, and what needs to happen now?
It's not about patting anybody in the back. It's about explaining what happened here, Stephen. We were down in June that year, in June 2014, to 30,000 less people waiting on getting treated than was the case when the DUP took over. However, whenever the welfare reform crisis came in, and that budget problem started to bite, and we were forking out £10 million per month back to the Westminster government of fines, that was being stripped away from the health service. And there is an absolutely clear correlation between that. We were able to spend additional money buying services in from outside, which enabled us to reduce the waiting list. And that's how the waiting lists were reduced. That had to stop. That expenditure was stopped. And the consequence of that expenditure stopping is that the waiting lists have risen, and have risen dramatically. We need to get the resource to deliver the service. At this moment in time, the resource is being stripped away from health because Sinn Féin and the SDLP believe that it's more important to give people preferential treatment in the United Kingdom and Northern Ireland for welfare and starve the health service off the resource that they need.
Here's the problem your party has, Edwin. Your minister isn't there. He's in and out. Hokey, cokey leadership. One minute he's a health minister, the next minute the country doesn't have a health minister.
Well,
you couldn't make that up.
Well, whenever I was doing the job, you were constantly telling us how useless the health minister was. In any event, so then when there isn't a health minister there, you're complaining about that as well. But
what signal does it send out that your party doesn't think that we need a health minister every single day of the week, to the extent that they keep one in there?
Of course we need a health minister every day of the week, and of course we need to resolve these issues. We need to resolve the issues around paramilitarism. We need to resolve the issues around welfare, because we had a deal last December, and Sinn Féin welched on it. So we need to resolve that. If we don't get the additional money, if we don't get that resource being put into health instead of being put into to having the gold plated welfare, then we will you know, it won't be a health minister that will resolve that problem because the resource doesn't exist to do it. We need to get the resource and meet the individual there to carry it out, and that's what we're working towards. That's what the talks are about, and that's what the minister's doing at the minute.
Is it? Were you at an agricultural debate last week?
I was at an agriculture debate 2 weeks ago, yes.
So how come you can go to an agriculture debate, but your party is boycotting health debates?
Well, that debate was called for before the boycott kicked into place, so we carried it through and done that particular.
Fergal job. McKinney's in the studio, shaking your head. Fergal, why? Morning.
Well, it's clear there is no principle here. Arlene Foster's gatekeeping for the money. Who's gatekeeping for the public? Nigel Edwards, according to Mary Louise's report, is saying that people may die as a result of these lengthy queues. And by the way, these queues predate anything to do with welfare. The causes of these go back many, many years. And the DUP has been in charge for many years and has failed it. But yes, Arlene can sit... Arlene can sit and look after the money and pretend that there's rogue SDLP ministers about the place. But she can't, Simon Hamilton can't go in and defend the public against the real possibility that people may die. There's only one simple answer here. And as I say, there is no principled argument. If one minister can go in from the DUP's point of view in relation to these deaths over the last few months, then Simon Hamilton has no excuse, absolutely no excuse, but to go back in today and sort out those queues and sort out those issues and talk to Arlene Foster about the money and talk to OFM, DFM about the money and get it resolved.
Of those patients in Northern Ireland waiting for a first outpatient appointment at the end of June, 129,224 were waiting more than 9 weeks. Of those patients waiting more than 18 weeks for a first outpatient appointment at the end of June, 85,997, Edwin. That's the amount. 40.5% of the total were waiting more than 18 weeks. Is that not disgraceful? Is that not an embarrassment? And that's just for outpatients, Edwin.
Of course it's disgraceful. And I told you that this was going to happen.
And your party, well, sometimes has the health ministry.
The reason that it is happening, and Fergal can try to run away from this, is because money is being taken away from the health service and being ploughed into welfare. And now Fergal supports that. Let Fergal state today, is he going to accept welfare reform in Northern Ireland and then divert that money towards health? Because that's what we would do. We would be putting money into health instead of into welfare. Now that will make a difference.
Well, you've asked
that
him a question.
Off the waiting
Let's
list.
Let him answer it.
Yeah, and we want to see the welfare issue sorted. That's why we're around the table at Stormont trying to resolve it.
That's not what he asked.
I know it's not what he asked, but I'm telling you what it is we're doing. We're trying to resolve this issue. And we wanted the...
That's a nothing answer,
well,
isn't
it's
it,
not
though?
A nothing,
you would sit around a table
no,
and
it's,
talk.
It's not
a, His direct question is, why don't you accept welfare reform if the money goes to health?
We are now in talks.
Save lives?
We are now in talks, which may end up with the concerns that we have written into law to mitigate the welfare situation. And the DUP are involved in those negotiations. It was the DUP and Sinn Féin that voted against those very proposals when they rejected our amendments in the welfare stuff. Let me also make it clear that last year the health service did get £200 million in mitigations from the national government as a result of the Barnett consequentials. Some of that money was allocated earlier. There was extra potential in that, and the DUP knows that the health budget in general was ring-fenced. This has nothing to do with welfare. And Edwin knows that.
Nothing to do with welfare, Edwin puts.
That is simply not true. And the correlation exists because we can see that the waiting lists have risen over this last year and a half. And that is the period of time that the welfare fund...
Well, let's
finish.
And it's very clear... That correlation exists because at that point the Health and Social Care Board said we can no longer use the private sector, and they stopped using the private sector to supplement the service that we actually have. And, you know, Fergal needs to remember as well that under the DUP we have employed considerably more nurses, 931 more nurses, up 7%, 458 more allied health professionals such as physios and OTs, and 239 more consultants, which is up 18%. So, you know, we have taken on more people on the frontline services. The demand is rising by around 5 to 6% each year. So we need to do that.
Well,
we need to get that resource, and we cannot afford, Fergal, we cannot afford, and you really need to get this, we cannot afford to be having a gold-plated welfare system, which is above everything else in the United Kingdom, above England, Scotland, Wales, and at the same time starving our health service of resource. I'm passionate about this, and I'm quite angry about it, because this has dragged on and on and on, and we had it dealt with last December at Stormont House Agreement, and you have Welsh done it. Sinn Féin have Welsh done it.
Yeah.
And we're now in this disastrous position, and people are criticising a health minister who hasn't got the resource to deliver the service.
Well, look, I'm as passionate and I'm as angry, even though we disagree about many of the issues here. And I think we respect each other's passion if we don't necessarily always accept each other's anger. But the reality is, what we're not talking about here is just welfare. Because Simon Hamilton is not out of his seat because of welfare. Simon Hamilton is out of his seat for other reasons. And so let's get back to the basics of this issue. Simon Hamilton needs to be back at his job. And the DUP has no defence, because Arlene is in looking after money, albeit against the spectre. And we resent the context that the DUP put in this about rogue and renegade SDLP ministers, because we would not be in that context. We would have been responsible people involved in decision making. Look, I need to make the point.
Here's the point I'll make, Fergal, to you and to Edwin and to Sinn Féin and every other political party this morning. You see, while you all have your entrenched political positions and you all point the finger at each other, working class people who you all purport to represent cannot and don't have the money to get treatment, and they're sitting listening to this and they're getting really, really frustrated.
Yes.
That
so,
you lot on your salaries and people like me on my salary who can afford private health care can get it, and meanwhile they can't. And they're listening to you all arguing, and you're not delivering.
And some of the
you're
people
not delivering for the people of Northern Ireland.
Yes, so the logical conclusion of that is not to get caught up in the welfare stuff, because Simon Hamilton was in his seat while that welfare stuff was being discussed. Edwin was in his seat while that welfare was being discussed. Jim Wells was in his seat when that was. These are not reasons not to be at his seat. Simon Hamilton needs to get back to his desk today and make decisions around these issues. Marie-Louise's report makes it very, very clear that somebody with the expertise of Nigel Edwards says this is completely unacceptable.
It needs more money. Health Service needs more money. Therefore, that is a combined budget decision. Therefore, he needs the support of the Assembly to divert money to health.
And when Simon Hamilton is talking to us on the radio this morning, he has no power. None. He can defend the DUP's position, which I think is indefensible. But if he's at his desk, at least he's got power. And he can't nip in for half an hour here and there. Last week he nipped in to sign off on a £1.5 million drugs fund, which only pointed up the extent to which there are 40 other drugs not available in Northern Ireland for cancer patients,
which
are available in the rest of the UK.
So the question Edwin puts, why is this not important enough for Simon Hamilton and the DUP to say, we're going back into health. We're taking a principled stand about what we disagree with, about welfare reform, what we disagree with, about the Chief Constable's assessment of the IRA. However, we are going back into health. Why is it not so bad that the DUP will do that?
Well, if you look at the circumstance and you recognise that the additional money that's being spent on welfare being stripped away from health is a significant element of the problems in health, then it is absolutely critical that we resolve that issue. So we do need to force people's hands. We do need to be strong, and the DUP will be strong. We'll not be pushed around by the SDLP or Sinn Féin on these issues any longer.
No, but you should be pushed around.
They have decided to use a blocking mechanism on this issue. They have made actually government in Northern Ireland unsustainable as it exists.
But your actions, Edwin, are not pushing.
We will not be bullied on this issue. We are going to fight for the health service, and we are not going to allow Sinn Féin and the SDLP to starve health service off resource by plowing more and more money into welfare and taking it away from health.
Well, that's how you carry.
We will fight and engage in these talks and fight for the health service and ensure that we can.
Well,
that's the opportunity for whoever's doing health to actually deliver.
But you might listen. You might characterise it as bullying and power struggles between two parties. You're pushing the public around. You're bullying. No, you're not. Because you have no minister in. You have no minister in making decisions which could mitigate some of those.
Minister needs the tools to do the job.
The minister's
not given the minister.
The minister is not at his seat
because you have decided that people on welfare are more important than people on waiting lists.
Edwin, you're dragging it back.
We are not going to accept that. We're going to resist it, and we're going to fight for the health service and ensure that money goes to the health service as opposed to being ploughed into welfare.
But you're not out of your seat.
You're not out of your seat because of welfare.
Well, Maeve McLaughlin will be on the moment.
Others are running away. Edwin,
you are not out of your seat because of welfare. You're out of your seat because of other reasons. And as I've already pointed out, there's no principle in that because Arlene's in her seat. All I'm saying is get the health minister back to doing the health job.
Fergal, why are you giving the pretense this morning that if the minister was there, it would solve this? Because this problem has been around long before Simon Hamilton removed himself from the DUP ministry. And you know that. So it's cheap political point scoring this morning.
No, it's not. And you know it's not, because I've been in this studio since the day and hour that I started up this job asking what was happening with transforming your care. And it's a collective, a serial failure of DUP ministers that's actually at fault. Edwin wasn't able to secure the finances to engage in transforming your care. Jim Wells wasn't able to secure the finances over transforming your care. Simon Hamilton's now trying to reimagine transforming your care. And it worries me deeply that he merely talks now about a world-class health service. Nigel Edwards has called the DUP out on this issue. He has reflected that people may die as a result of their failure, their mismanagement, their lack of leadership. And yes, head should roll. And here's the irony. Here's the irony. There's not even a health minister in his post to make the heads roll.
I think what we have is a serial cheap shot that have came from Fergal, that he took up the role as health spokesman for the SDLP. We have been employing more nurses, consultants, allied health professionals to do this.
Tell that to the 14,777 people, Edwin Poots, who are waiting more than 26 weeks for inpatient admission. And that's an increase of 8.5%. 8.5% increase in 1 year. How bad is this going to get until politicians in Stormont start delivering for the people of Northern Ireland in terms of the basic function of keeping them alive, treating them when they're in trouble, making sure that because they're working class people, they are no worse off than some rich guy that can go in and buy private health care? When is Stormont going to deliver, Edwin Poots, for local working class people?
Well, we're determined that we resolve these issues in these talks, and that people don't walk away from them as they did last year and Welsh on agreements that they had made.
Valerie Watts.
It is a scandal that people are having to wait that length of time. They weren't having to wait that length of time. They shouldn't have to wait that length of time. But thanks to people who want to spend money on things other than health, in particular welfare, we are in the problem that we currently have.
And this is no surprise. Valerie Watts, it was July of this year. Valerie's the Chief Executive of the Health and Social Care Board. Here's the warning that she gave on The Nolan Show in July when she spelled it out. She said things were going to get worse.
I've got to be very direct and say they're likely to get worse because of the budget.
How much worse do you project they will get?
Well, for certain, I can't give you the individual detail for individual specialities here this morning, but we are predicting that those waiting times will stretch out.
By how much? Significantly?
Some of them will be significantly, yes.
And to show how serious this is, Nigel Edwards from the Nuffield Trust, he has also said that people will die on waiting lists or make the decision to put their hands in their own pocket.
They're going to have to find the money to treat these patients unless they become so sick that they can't be treated. So it's not like you can avoid spending this money unless, to be really blunt about it, people die on the waiting list or decide that they can't afford to wait and put their hands in their own pocket.
We're going to speak to the former Health Minister, Michael McGimsey, in just a second or two. Peter in Belfast. Morning to you, Peter.
Well, you have to give me a minute here, Stephen, but what I'm saying is every time you ask a politician to answer now, is we'll have to get around the table to have talks about talks, and then they send every way to their consultations or their groups, and then they have talks about the talks, and then they have to come back to have talks about more talks. Nobody ever does anything. Talks keep it the same. And the worst thing is, where else in the world would people that's costing the government £10 million and their company £10 million a month would still be in a job?
Here's the bottom line. Valerie Watts, Peter, just understand this. Valerie Watts basically runs the Health and Social Care Board, right? And it's the Health and Social Care Board that coordinates the funding of the health service in Northern Ireland. So in the monitoring round, which is when these boards ask for money and Stormont decides how the money's being divvied up, they said they needed 89 million from Stormont. That was in June of this year.
Yeah.
All right, that's an extra 89 million. They haven't got one penny. So you've got June, July, August, September, not one penny have they got. No decisions made at Stormont, and 45 million of that 89 million would have been for exactly what we're talking about today. Hospital waiting lists. We're not in October, and they've got no money, Peter. No extra money.
All they want to do is say the same thing. They don't get anywhere. They just don't get. There's more interest in bonfires and other things than they are about anything else. I just think it's a disgrace. And it doesn't matter. I think it doesn't matter who the hell with DFDLP, Sinn Féin, Ulster Unionists or thing, if you're the health minister, there's just nothing you can do because if the money's out there, you can't take it. You know, so I don't think it's individual health minister you can complain. It's just the government.
A lot of these parties do say they represent working class people, Peter. What's your reaction to that?
Well, they do, but Stephen, at the end of the day, when it comes to elections and votes, the welfare thing is a straight thing because if half of your voters is 50% maybe on the welfare, you're not going to want to annoy 50% of your voters, are you? You know, because then 50% might mean different between you getting it elected and not elected. So you're going to look after what's in your interest, which is obviously not bringing the welfare reforms in. You know, people in Belfast aren't stupid. You know, might think we are, but we're not.
Raymond the Banger, you're one of those on a waiting list. Morning to you. Morning, Raymond.
Hello. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. So you're waiting from April 2014.
Yes. And I
a year and a half.
Yep, and I've been on the phone this morning. Initially, I was led to understand that the waiting list was 75 weeks. So I rang up this morning thinking I must be pretty close to the top now, only to be told that the waiting list is now up to 84 weeks.
84 weeks you're waiting?
84 weeks.
As a citizen in Northern Ireland, can you tell us what for?
I have severe shoulder pain. I've actually hardly had a night's sleep at all for months. Shoulder and neck pain.
84 weeks?
84 weeks. And every time I ring up, I keep shifting a goalpost.
What do you say to these politicians?
I couldn't put it on air. I think it's an absolute disgrace. I mean, they spend more time talking about prices of cups of coffee and what they're going to sing on the bus to Dublin. You know, they need to get their act together and bloody well do something for the people of Northern Ireland.
And Roy in East Belfast, your brother Roy, had a heart attack. Morning to you.
Morning, Stephen.
How long has your brother been waiting to see a cardiologist?
Well, he had the heart attack in July of this year, 4 days on his holiday. And when he got the Kaplan for a month, because the directors over there at the hospital said that his wife, who is an ex-nurse, that the state of your own health service, if we send him home, he'd probably not even get a bed. So we'll do his treatment here. When he come home, I took him to Dundonald Hospital with all the letters. He had to see a cardiologist within 5 days. He was then told that it would be 4 weeks. After that, he then got a phone call to say it's not. It's going to be 24 weeks before he gets his first cardiologist.
Sorry, he should have been seen. Am I getting this right? You're saying he should have been seen within 5 days?
That's correct.
And he's waiting 24 weeks?
It's going to be 24 weeks.
That could not be true.
That's honest, Stephen.
Should have been seen 5 days, and you're saying he's waiting 24 weeks?
It is going to be 24 weeks before he gets his first appointment with a cardiologist.
Well, do you know what I'm going to do, Roy? We'll get the team to talk to you behind the scenes, and we will pursue that case, and we will look into it. My goodness. How's your brother feeling about that, sitting waiting that long?
The best about it, Stephen, in between time, he had a bad kidney infection, which he was taken to Dundonald again, and he was in for 4 days. I think that would have been an opportunity there for him to see a cardiologist while he was there for the 4 days. But no, it's going to be 24 weeks before he gets his first. And this is all because of these ones up on the hill.
And Ned in West Belfast, morning to you, Ned.
Hello, Stephen.
Tell me about your granddaughter.
My granddaughter, since Christmas, she's been taking fainting fits. They thought it was epilepsy. But to cut the whole story short, she's going to have to wait for near 2 years before she get an EEG or what have you to find out what exactly is wrong with her. So the daughter and the son-in-law decided to go private. But then less than a month, she was in RVH.
Yeah.
She got the EEG done. Why is that? At the moment...
Well, some people would say, Ned, that is because we now have a two-tier health system in Northern Ireland, where if you're working class, you sit at the bottom of a waiting list, and if you've got money, you can get seen to right away. You can get treated right away. In other words, the haves and the have-nots.
Well, Stephen, in my opinion, I can't wait for the next election, because I'll go out and I'll spoil my vote. And that's my advice to anybody. These politicians, I wouldn't trust them to go to shop for me.
You're getting a sense this morning of the anger on the phones today. 03030 80 55 55.